Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
So let's bounce back to the top of the food chain, politically speaking, and after all the talk this hour of moving forward, pragmatic change at the local level, the 2016 presidential campaign seems to be caught in a time warp, and they're not visiting the future. Donald Trump certainly isn't in talking about the Clinton years.
In the history of politics, Hillary Clinton's husband abused women more than any man that we know of, and Hillary was an enabler, and she treated these women horribly. Just remember this.
Trump economics is a recipe for lower wages, fewer jobs, more debt. He could bankrupt America like he's bankrupted his companies.
Hillary Clinton talking about Donald Trump's past at a rally in Detroit on Monday. Donald Trump earlier this month at a rally in Spokane, Washington. And this Trump rally from last night in Albuquerque sounded like a flashback to the 1968 Chicago convention. Hillary will have a difficult time escaping the past and getting back to the issues she claims she wants to talk about. The State Department Inspector General concluded this week that while she was Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton violated federal record-keeping guidelines by having her own private email server. Are the present old rehashings of scandals going to continue right up until November? Have the high-minded ideals of the Obama years given way to pure partisanship and political combat? Or is this just how the American democratic system works? Sean Wilentz is author of The Politicians and the Egalitarians, The Hidden History of American Politics. Sean, welcome to The Takeaway.
Great to be here, John.
So was Obama high-minded, and is this 2016 election a partisan mudsling?
Well, not all partisan politics are mudslinging, but this very much is. I mean, you know, President Obama's a partisan politician, a party politician. He ran as a politician. He's a very good one. This year it's different. This year the hyper-partisanship of the Republican Party has helped produce Donald Trump, and we're in for the nastiest campaign certainly in our lifetimes.
And Bernie versus Hillary? There's an ideological component within the party there, and
yeah.
Hillary's trying to suppress it with procedural.
Well, I mean, there's a division not so much within the Democratic Party. Bernie brought people from outside the Democratic Party who hadn't been there before and has run as a Democrat. So the Democrats are in the middle of this fight, yeah. That in many ways goes back a very long time, that fight inside the Democratic Party between what you want to call them the new politics types mm-hmm. and the new Democrats. So this is erupting again. But it's erupting in the post-2008 environment. And that's very important to understand. I mean, I don't think that the country is taking proper account of how devastating that was and how much it's affected our politics.
The economy.
Well, the crash.
Right.
So what the crash has meant is that you get Trump coming along, right, who's not – talking about trade deals, talking a lot like Bernie Sanders, addressing Republicans who felt sold out by the party because the party had nothing to offer them in the aftermath of what happened in 2008. Same thing's kind of happening in the Democratic Party.
You argue in this book that egalitarianism and ideas of real social justice and social progress come when establishment politicians are ultimate persuaders within the system, like Johnson was in convincing his Democratic racist, colleagues to go along with the Civil Rights Act,
right.
And that's how it works.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work the way Barack Obama attempted to bring people along as a part of a movement.
I mean, certainly President Obama did a lot, so it's not to say that he didn't do anything, but I think that's right. I think the post-partisan idea that he came to office with, as he himself learned, can only get you so far. It's not going to be a way to get things done when you have to resort to doing things like grand bargains, when you start trying to work things out with a Republican Party that doesn't want you to be there and will do everything it can to undermine you. But you're right, I think, about Johnson and others. FDR is another example. Going all the way back, Thomas Jefferson is something of an example of this too. Change happens in the United States when the forces of egalitarianism, which are always there, the egalitarian tradition goes back to the beginning, manage to converge with those elements inside the political system who are not just willing to listen, but in fact also have the same kinds of ideas. Much of the time, the two are out of joint. They're not working together. When they do manage to come together, when you have very skillful reformers like Martin Luther King Jr., who's really a revolutionary in many ways, and a very skilled politician. Working together, then things get done.
So campaigners are not deal makers, necessarily.
Campaigners meaning?
Good campaigners. People who are in great presidential campaigns don't necessarily have the capacity
absolutely not.
To make deals.
No, no, no. And look, there is a political system. There is politics in America. You know, we often don't want to talk about the fact that there is politics. But there's politics. There's the politics of running for office, and there's the politics of governing. And inside the system that we've got, you have to be able to be a good party politician in working within the system.
So who's the better deal maker here, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton?
Oh, I mean, in terms of the government, there's no question. I mean, what goes on in Washington, D.C., the kinds of things that you need to get done, and what goes on in abroad in terms of making international accords, bear no resemblance whatsoever to what Donald Trump has been doing all of his life. I mean, it's not just about deals. Deals don't occur in the abstract. Deals occur within a context. And you have to understand how Capitol Hill works. You have to understand how you're going to get things done, how Lyndon Johnson brilliantly managed to leverage and use his understanding of how the system works. That's just a different – not just a different ballgame. We're talking about a different universe.
Do we have evidence that Hillary can do that, though, bring people around on the other side? I mean, she's a very divisive figure. And
yeah, I think if you go back to her Senate career, Republicans themselves say that they respect her a great deal. Parts of the government that you would think that wouldn't be, you know, very happy with her, the military, among others, they see her as a person who they can deal with. And that's happened. And she certainly has much more experience with all of that. Not that she's gotten everything she wants done, but she's the most experienced candidate we've had coming into to a campaign in a very, very long time. She knows how that works. People use that against her, saying that everybody in Washington is corrupt and therefore we have to get rid of them all. But I mean, I think that's just demagogy. I mean, it's not actually understanding how the system works and how we're going to get it done.
Times reviewed your book and said you're a historian with a Clinton agenda.
Did they say Clinton? I can't remember that one. Well, I don't know if that was a review, John, as much as it was a personal attack more than it was
a review.
That
was tough. Yeah. That was tough.
Yeah.
Politics there or?
You'll have to ask the reviewer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, right. Absolutely. Right. Well, Sean Wilentz is the author of The Politicians and the Egalitarians, The Hidden History of American Politics. Boy, we will certainly see how some of the ideas in this book play out in 2016. Sean Wilentz, thanks so much.
Great, John. Good to see you.